Good evening and greetings in Jesus' name and our soon coming King. Thank you for coming out again this evening. It's good to see you all here, and also welcome to those who are visiting here with us tonight. God bless you for coming. Thank you, Brother Durbin, for those devotional thoughts. The Holy Spirit coming and living in our lives, if we accept Christ, gives us the power and gives us the courage to be used how God would have us to be used. We've been sharing most every evening before the service. You've been sharing testimony of something you're thankful for. We'd like to do that again this evening for a few minutes. Before we do that, I want to express my thank you and appreciation for you as a church family. There was so much in my heart, and I told my wife, I'm going to just write some things down because lest I forget when I'm talking about them and I sit reminisce later and I think, oh, I forgot to say that. Probably you'll forget to say something here, but just reading a little note of just my thoughts as I sat at my desk this afternoon. To the Swatara Church family, thank you for your kind hospitality that you shared with me and my family throughout the week. The snacks that you sent home each evening were yummy and enjoyed. Your kindness you shared with me through words of encouragement and expressions that you were praying for me, and the meetings meant a lot to me and made a difference. Also, thank you very much for the scrapbook, the Yeti cooler full of goodies, and the love gift of tonight. I pray that God can use some small seed of truth shared this week to make a difference in someone's life, and that all glory be to Him. I've been blessed to share with your church family, and wish you the blessing of our Heavenly Father upon your congregation. The Swatara Church family will hold a special place in my heart from this time on. Thank you very much. And yes, when the Yeti cooler was being taken in the building, well, Brother Brandon said, but I enjoy food. I enjoy making food. I enjoy grilling. But I couldn't quite place that someone would be out making barbecue chicken this morning. That just didn't fit. Well, maybe it's drinks. I don't know. Well, I don't know what's in there, but I'm excited because a Yeti cooler and lunch, it's going to be something good in there. And I never once gave it a thought. So I walked right into that one. Thank you. You've blessed me more and our family more than I deserve. We'll open up to you now for your thoughts. If there's anything that you have in your heart that you want to share, now's your time. Feel free to share. Won't tarry long, but if there's something you're thankful for, and I know there are lots of things that you're thankful for. But
and he can remember his father and grandfather, and then front through, he covers seven generations of them. And it's a wonderful thing now to follow. It made it to 94, still faithful, but the torch has to be handed on.
Right.
And the next seven have to do the same thing, choose to live for God. So it's great to have good heritage.
Thank you. It's a lesson for us all. Anyone else? Well, thank you for sharing throughout the week. The burden or the thought behind that was to think on good things, think on positive things, draw our mind to things of thankfulness. We'll sing our theme song now, number 686. We'll sing all four verses. For a message this evening, I invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, to read a few verses here at the beginning. You will note that this is Jesus is ascending up to heaven. The account of Jesus' ascension, starting at verse 6 of Acts chapter 1, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." We started out on Monday evening with the title, "We Would See Jesus." And we talked about seeing Jesus throughout the week and his work and what he has done for us. Tonight again, I would like to look at, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Even so come, Lord Jesus. This same Jesus. And think with me. Standing there with a group, the Swatara Church is standing on a hill. And there you are. And you're talking to Jesus. And all of a sudden, this human being that you've come to know, this person, just starts to go up. There's no rocket power. It just lifts up. And you watch. There it goes. There he goes. And the clouds are there. And he goes through the clouds. And he's gone. And then these two men in white appear. And they tell you, "Why are you standing there looking up into heaven? This same Jesus is going to come again." We're living in the interval of Jesus' ascension and his coming again. We know that. Let's take notice of a few details about Jesus' ascension first. He ascended in the presence of his disciples. They saw him. There's record. While they beheld, he was taken up. There's no question as to what happened to Jesus. There's no question. He ascended into a cloud. The cloud concealed him from their sight. The disciples continuing to gaze, they appear to have been taken off guard. Jesus' ascension appears to have taken place suddenly. And then the two men offered them hope, talked with them and offered them hope. This same Jesus will come again. According to verse 12, Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives. And as I said, we're living in that gap of Jesus' ascension and his second coming, coming back again. The simple message tonight is this: in light of the promise of Jesus coming again, am I ready to meet him? Am I ready to meet him? Presently, Jesus. So, Jesus ascended into heaven. We have Stephen's testimony that when he was being stoned, he saw heaven opened and Jesus standing in the right hand of the Father. Presently, each of you, Jesus is standing. He's there beside the Father, interceding for you. As you face life and the stresses of life, and as you pray, we didn't talk about prayer a lot this week. I thought about bringing a message on prayer and was not felt led strongly to do that. But prayer is so important. But as you pray to God, and we pray through Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. He's our intercessor, and he's there at the right hand of the Father. But this same Jesus is going to come again. John chapter 14 and verses 1 to 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus is there in glory, preparing a place for you and me. That where I am, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a blessed promise. To be promised that we can be in the presence of Jesus and God the Father in heaven with all the saints that have gone on before. Is that exciting to you? Do we have a hold of earth things too tightly, or we'd hardly want to miss all that's going on here on earth? I hope not. But that we're holding these things with a loose grip. And that when the Lord comes again, the earnest of the Spirit in our heart, we have a down payment there. We have a spot in heaven. And when he comes again, whether you believe he's coming to take the church home or otherwise, he's coming again. He's coming again. I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also, those who have their sins under the blood and are ready to meet him. When will Jesus come? Well, our Bible would tell us that no one knows but the Father when Jesus will come back. I invite you to turn now to Matthew 24 for the remainder of the message. The fact is that no man knows when Jesus will return. We believe, I believe, that he could return at any moment, at any time. He could come back. Verse 36 of Matthew 24 tells us, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, as I had said before, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." When will Jesus return? He will return when the Father says, "Go. Go bring my children home." He will return. What are some of the signs of his coming? Now let's read some of Matthew 24. We'll start reading at verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Oh, the deception that is prevalent today, the voices and the deception. Verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled." How about that? We hear of wars. We hear of rumors of wars. We hear of North Korea. We hear of Russia. We hear of Iran. We hear of many things. And if we're not careful, we can be troubled. Jesus says that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Let them be Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the hilltop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, unto them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. I'm going to leave off reading there. What are some of the signs of his coming? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, to also tell us that perilous times shall come. I believe one of the signs of his coming is the world and its system becomes under increased turmoil and increased stress. And we see that today, don't we? The world and its system is under stress. Under stress. Another one is many who once loved the Lord will become deceived and fall away. And let's hearken and listen as the end times come upon us. Let's not become deceived and fall away from the truth and believe false doctrine. Many false prophets shall arise, verse 23 and 24. There will be increased hatred of the Christian. And I don't know about you, but in my bosom I can feel that spirit at work in the system around us. What will we do? What will we do? What will I do when the decision is, yeah, you're not going to be, when it comes to the point where if I'm going to keep selling or doing business, I'm going to need to become part of the system. We need to think about these things. Not become scared and fearful, but we need to think about them. Increased hatred of the Christian. Brother Clyde talked about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school. Israel is returning to their homeland. I'm not going to go into all of that. But there's the acceleration of lawlessness. Technology and knowledge is just the introduction of AI and how technology is just at an astronomical rate. Evil just prevalent. Increased apostasy. Social religious cultures preparing for one world system. Oh, we see it so close today. The one world system. When will digital currency become the thing? And how is that going to play into this whole system? There are signs of Jesus coming soon, I believe. How will Jesus come? He will come quickly. In verse 27, For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the Son, the coming of the Son of Man be. He will come quickly. And I wonder, you know, when Jesus came the first time as the little baby in the manger, there were prophecies that pointed forward to his coming then too. How about today? Are we interested in the prophecies, the signs of him coming again? Or are we lulled asleep in our materialistic age and we don't care about that? How will Jesus come? He will come quickly. He will descend from heaven, his current abode. He will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, or the chief angel. Jude chapter 9 tells us, identifies the archangel as Michael. He will descend with the trump of God, 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. It is my personal belief that one of the big things on God's timetable would be the rapture of the church. Would be my personal feeling. Think about it. When the church is taken out, if you let your mind run to the mess that will be left behind. I believe that someday that will take place. What will be the world and the government's explanation of all the missing people? What will it be? They need to explain things away, it seems. Jesus will come back suddenly. He will come through the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive shall remain shall be caught up. And that word caught up means to seize or catch or pluck away. The Latin word for carry off is raptus, from which we get our word rapture. Come through the clouds. For the last part of the message, what should be my response? Jesus is coming back again. He is going to return back to earth. And when he comes back, he's coming back to take those who are his, who have their names written in the book of life. We talked about that, didn't we? The book of life. They have eternal life, and he's coming back to take them. And now, in the interim, we're still here, and God has a work for us to do. What should be my response? Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. I think one of the things we need to do is, that I need to do, is I need to keep awake and be vigilant. I need to keep my spiritual life up to date. I need to be awake. If you are awake, so when I'm driving late at night, my wife is with me, the question comes, are you awake? Yes, I'm awake. Maybe I hit the rumble strip or something. But yes, I'm awake. So what happens if you're not awake? Well, then you're asleep and you wreck. As a Christian, are you awake? Awake to the evils around you that you're guarding against, but you're awake. You're concerned about the evil. You're concerned about your associates. You're concerned about living a pure life for the Lord. You're awake. Mark 13, verses 34 to 37, we won't read them, but we're instructed to watch ye therefore, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. He find you sleeping. Number two, in verse 44, therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ye therefore ready. Take heed that no man deceive you, in verse 4. Deception abounds, as I've talked about. Counterfeit religious things. The idea where you can have a glowing testimony for the Lord and still disobey his commands is false. Be ready. Take heed that no man deceive you. Endure unto the end. Romans 13, put on the whole armor of God. Lastly, be working. Be working. And that's Brother Durbin's devotions. Be a channel. Be working. Verse 45 of Matthew 24. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Be working. The great commission that Jesus gave us in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Be working. Work, for the night is coming when no man shall work. I would like to, in conclusion, read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 18. I'd like you to turn there with me. It'd be my parting words with you, brothers and sisters here at Swatara. Second Peter. To loved ones here at Swatara, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That word conversation means conduct, holy conduct. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Be my prayer and my burden for you and for me. We would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is coming back. Revelation 22, verse latter part of chapter 22, latter part of verse 20. Even so come, Lord Jesus. You don't have to answer this question audibly, but think about it in your mind. If Jesus should come back tonight, where would you be? Whether he comes and the world is all over, everything is done, or he comes to take the church home, whatever your personal belief is, he's coming back. He's coming back. And those who are ready for his return will have everlasting life. And those who are not ready will have everlasting death. I'd like to give an invitation tonight for anyone who is not ready to meet the Lord when he comes back. Tonight is another opportunity for you